she's actually just looking over her four-leaf clover collection.
I heard she adopted 9 puppies and she is in over her head.
Hello.
Hello.
It's time for another edition of The Bits. This one, we're down. We're down a gal.
We're down one gal. She's okay, though.
She is okay. Claire is
absent.
Obviously Irish. this is, you know, for every Irish person, a very big month for her. And so she couldn't be with us because she's currently in meditation, manifesting leprechauns.
Preparing for St. Patrick's Day.
Preparing for St. Patrick's Day, manifesting leprechauns.
She's actually in a competitive orienteering group looking for pots of gold around town.
Ah, yes. Okay. Yeah. Also another one. Yeah. Or she's actually just looking over her four-leaf clover collection.
I heard she adopted 9 puppies and she is in over her head.
Yeah, I think the number 6.
She's maybe a little more comfortable with 6, actually. Her wife may have broken her foot.
Yeah.
That is actually true.
Yes.
Claire pushed her down the stairs. I love when she's not here to defend herself. I allegedly pushed her down the stairs. We don't know that for sure. We don't know. I guess we'll never know.
Well,
okay, with that,
Molly
is
upstairs.
But she's not here.
Yeah,
she's not here. So.
But the point being, Claire is not here tonight. So you've got just Quinn and Paulina, which, you know what? We're happy about that.
Yeah, less Irish, both of us, but that's okay.
I mean, my name's Quinn.
Oh,
but
shit. Right. Are you Irish?
Yeah, on my mom's side, yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. When I went to Ireland, like everybody's last name there is Quinn. And so I fit in well. People were very confused, but
so you're not in heavy meditation preparing for the 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
No, I'm a really good manifester, so okay. I only have to do a week out.
Oh, okay.
Not a couple weeks out.
Oh, wow. Thank goodness. Okay. Well, we have a fun episode today.
Yeah, we do. Because
some exciting stuff happening.
Yes. So in case you did not hear, Edmonton will be only the second Canadian city to host a WNBA game.
Crazy.
So we are bringing the women's game, women's basketball to Edmonton. May 5th is the day between the Seattle Storm and LA Sparks, which is the team of Kia Nurse, who, of course, we love in this city. Great Canadian basketball player, sister of Darnell Nurse. That was really important that they get Kia here.
The Nurses are a talented family.
Yeah.
Athleticism-wise.
They do okay. Yeah. I can't, like, when I think about the Nurses, and I used to laugh about this all the time, and I'd talk to Darnell about it, like, what were family gatherings like? Because also,
shooting hoops.
Their parents are athletes, right? So it's just like, the competitive games within that family must have been incredible.
Do you think it was just triathlons every Thanksgiving, every Christmas? Truly, that sounds like my nightmare. I'm really glad I'm not a nurse, part of the nurse family or profession.
We love
I'd
nurses.
Be really bad at it.
Let us be clear. We love nurses.
Yeah.
We don't want Paulina to be one.
I would be a really bad nurse.
Or part of the nurse family.
Yeah,
yes.
I would be a bad nurse and just take that however you will.
Yeah. So, you know what? Like, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Edmonton has like a very deep history of basketball, specifically women's basketball. So we're going to do a little bit of education on a bit of the history dating back to the Edmonton grads. World famous women's basketball team started playing in 1912 until 1940. So absolutely incredible. Paulina, you're in trouble because Claire's not here to help out. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a touch of a quiz here.
Oh, I love a pop quiz.
It's a bit's favorite to do a quiz.
Yep.
So here we go. The Edmonton grads, of course, famous basketball team, women's basketball team, played in a number of Olympics, just exhibition games, but went undefeated in those. 25 years of excellence. So I'm going to start with the first question. How long was their win streak of the Underwood International Trophy, which is Canada versus USA? So we have A, 8 years.
Okay.
B, 17 years. Or C, they never won.
B?
B.
Really?
Excellent work.
Oh my gosh.
17 Amazing. Straight yeah. years of winning that trophy. Incredible. Against the US. Yeah.
Amazing. I love that for us.
Yeah. So, and then just one more.
Oh, it's a short pop quiz. Thanks. I am sweating buckets over here.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to push it too hard on you. True or false?
Yeah.
The Edmonton grads still hold the North American record for women's sports teams with the best winning percentage.
False.
Oof.
I don't know. True. It just felt like a trick question.
I know, that's fair, and it doesn't seem like
I wanted to say truly.
Yeah, and we're dating back to 1940. Yeah. Like you would think.
I was only 5 years old.
I actually had to think about that and was like, well, I'm older than you, so how old was I?
Remember the war? That was tough.
Hey. yeah. So, and then, you know, we've gone on to, you know, become the home of this Canadian senior women's national basketball team at the Saville right. Center. They train here. We are the home of the FIBA 3x3 women's series. We hosted that last year and 2024 and 2025. And this weekend, if you're listening to the bits this weekend, we have the U Sports Final Eight, which is the Women's University Basketball Championships over at the Saville Center.
Nice.
I am fresh off emceeing their awards ceremony earlier this week. And talk about an inspiring room. Like, I just loved being there. It's a room full of women. And then, of course, the male allies that are there to, like, support them, coach them, put on this event. And, you know, like it's just a room full of like so much joy, so much happiness, so much support for women. It's really inspirational. I want to talk about this one girl, though, just since we're going to pump up women today.
Well, it is International Women's Day this week.
So I'm doing this right. So Nikki Kabuko won the Sylvia Sweeney Award, which is for, you know, top player who excels academically and as well in the community. Listen to her work. So she is on track to earn a Bachelor of Arts in Child and Youth Care from the University of Fraser Valley. But during her time in school, she is a board member with the Mitsqui Abbotsford Impact Society, giving input into policy development and goal setting. She also serves as a youth and family ambassador with Foundry BC, participating in an innovative project to support a diverse pan-Canadian network of young people and family. Last summer, she served as a substance use counselor, offering walk-in counseling and supported outreach activities while also participating in Indigenous youth advocacy groups and traditional celebrations. So this is a woman who is doing a Bachelor of Arts in Child and Youth Care, playing high-level basketball, a team that qualified for the Final Eight, and all that advocacy work.
So lazy.
It's a real wake-up call.
That's actually nuts.
She is just one of those people, and then she comes up, gives an absolutely beautiful speech.
She's firing on all cylinders at all times. She's just one of those people.
Yeah. Like,
and you
just
find that in athletes often. They have a different mindset.
They have a different mindset. And I really hope that she stays involved with sports, because she is one of those people that is going to really help inspire people. Oh, yeah. During her speech, she also talked about her volunteer work at the Children's Hospital.
Oh, my goodness. So good human, incredible athlete,
yeah,
high performer.
Yeah. I'm guessing she's got very good grades.
I can only assume 4.0.
4.0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, damn.
Yeah.
Good for her.
So
that's incredible. Yeah. Happy International Women's Day to her specifically.
Yeah. To Nikki Kabuko, Fraser Valley Cascades basketball player.
Amazing.
Yeah. We love you, Nikki.
Shout out, Nikki.
Yeah. So anyways, I just, you know, really proud of Edmonton for bringing
That's
the WNBA
really
here.
Really exciting.
Really proud of the Edmonton grads. Really proud of the work that we do to support women.
Edmonton is very on the pulse of these things. Mm-hmm. Like they had some events like over the past year that were specifically around women's sports, women's competitive sports. And we've been having such amazing showings for these things as well. Like the city's like super into it. There's an appetite for these women's sports.
There absolutely yeah. is. Even
and they get, and Edmonton understands that. They're bringing it in.
Yeah. Like, let's go. Let's get a PWHL team.
So how do we get to the WNBA game on May 5th? It is my birthday. Do I have to buy a ticket or will you buy one for me?
Here's the thing. They're expecting it to sell out rapidly.
Okay. Well, I'm not surprised, honestly. I'm not.
Rogers Place.
Yeah.
So like 18,000 people, and they're going to sell out quick.
Well, what a cool event that you got to go to this week. Earlier in the week, and very excited to have the WNBA here in yeah. Edmonton. Okay, shall we have a totally different topic. I mean, something that we talk about on the podcast, because we like to talk about some of the pop culture stuff, right?
And you're our pop culture guru.
Oh, thank you. Okay. It is the 96th Academy Awards this Sunday.
Your big day.
It's a big day for me.
Yeah.
I love the Oscars. I love yeah. awards season. It's Oscar night. It's hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, who is becoming a staple in award show hosting at this point. Maybe Joe Coy wasn't available.
I was just going to say, touch of an upgrade.
Well, touch? Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel is a really safe choice because he's very well-liked. I think Kimmel's great. I think he'll do a fantastic monologue. Sometimes the Oscars in the past they've been trying so many different things with hosting. So they would go like hostless and they just have something like somebody over the speaker being like, okay, and welcome so-and-so. And you just kind of lose some, maybe I'm just a traditionalist with the Oscar format, and I don't mind if it's 5 hours long. It's the best part of my day. So Quinn is horrified. But I like to have a comedian host who like does like this scorch the earth type of monologue, like makes fun of the people there. It's really funny. And then comes on and like, eases a transition between, you know,
between awards
guests, and yeah. And presenters.
Like,
so,
can I just say, like, bless the people. Like, you know, what a terrifying job.
It is a terrifying job, and credit. No, not credit, but to be fair to Joe Coy, he didn't have a lot of time, and that is You know what? Now he knows that is not a job for him.
Yeah.
Keep it at Kimmel.
Real hard way.
Real hard way. Oh. Oh, boy. That was rough. Okay. But let's not dwell on the past.
Let's look ahead to the 96th Academy Awards.
Whether you're tuning in because you're a movie buff, you love award shows, you're in a casual or competitive Oscar pool, or you just like looking at really, really good looking people dressed up to the nines. It's a big night for fashion. It's actually a very aesthetically pleasing evening for hot people.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's
the best of the best,
nice
all in
at.
One room.
I like to look at what people are wearing. I'm into it. Yeah. My reasons for watching are all of the above, basically.
Okay.
So tonight we are going to go, today we're going to go through some of the big categories with some of our predictions. So you have a little cheat sheet for your Oscar ballot, or just kind of have a sense of what you can expect. Maybe you want a bit of cash. I don't know. What are my qualifications? I am a pop culture junkie. I have been watching the Oscars for 25 years. I'm very cool, obviously.
Yeah.
Not a loser at all.
Yeah.
For watching for 25 years straight. I don't think I've missed one. Yeah, I love award shows and movies.
And you are the former co-host of another podcast, a pop culture podcast that
I was.
Did quite well. So
I was. Shout out Pop for Thought and the lovely Shannon Burns, who was my co-host at the time. So this is just something that I am very into. I live and breathe it, you know? So let's get into some of the big categories. I'm not going to go through every category.
I'm not going to go through every category with you.
I'm going to help you with some of the big ones, okay?
Okay.
So why don't we start with the biggest category of the night?
Best picture.
Best picture. This, to me, this is not a surprise. There's a lot of misdirects happening, you know, momentum can pick up at different times during the Oscar race. People campaign for Oscars. You know, I know it's a whole thing. People campaign for Oscars. They like to build up that momentum. They like to get the attention. And then it kind of shifts people's mind, shifts voters' mindsets on like who should maybe win. I don't think we should follow some of the hype or the misdirects that have said like, oh, you know, the Holdovers is going to come in and sneak the win or Past Lives. Like, listen, Past Lives is a lovely movie. It's not going to win Best Picture.
No.
It's going to be Oppenheimer. It's Christopher Nolan's year. He's also going to win Best Director. So that's what we got for those two.
Well, and I just want to pipe in because I will say I love comedies.
Yes.
You can drop a comedy line on me. I usually
you
get it.
You know what the reference is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've even stumped you on one, which I was really proud of. The other guys, you've got to learn about Dirty Mike and the Boys.
I'm so sorry. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, yep. I know. Dirty Mike and the Boys. Anyways. But I did some homework. I couldn't get through all of them, but I did get, I watched Oppenheimer. Yes. I watched Past Lives and I watched The Holdovers.
Those are really good ones to watch going into Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I can kind of keep up with the conversation.
And what was your favorite of those three?
My favorite of those three. You know what? I liked all of them, though, for different reasons. I'm not really sure I can pick a favorite.
Yeah.
Like Oppenheimer, obviously, like educational. I'm going to just, I told everybody like, the people that I told this, I said that I would not tell anybody. I thought, I don't even know if I should say this.
Say it.
I thought Oppenheimer was a submarine. I don't know. I'm really sorry. Mom and Dad.
That is absolutely not where I thought you were going with that. I thought you were going to admit that you thought like Cillian Murphy was attractive. And I'm like, okay, well, a lot of people think he's attractive. It's not a big deal. Like he doesn't do it for me personally. But
no, he doesn't do it for me.
No.
I just thought that it was a submarine.
That is, you know what? This is a judgment-free zone. I'll talk about this later.
Tell your
behind
face
your back.
That.
Yeah. My face cannot lie, but my mouth can. Okay. So this is going to be Oppenheimer. This is going to be their year. They're actually leading the charge with 13 nominations. And some people are wondering if they are going to get shut out. They won't. If they are going to have a sweep. That hasn't happened in a very long time. I think the last time I remember that happening was Titanic in like 1998. There might have been something more recent that isn't coming to mind. But or they're just going to be generously awarded, which I think is what's going to happen. They're going to win a few of the big awards.
Well, I you know, maybe this is the transition. I don't think that they sweep because I don't think it's Best Actor.
Okay, that is really interesting because that is a tight race between, and I know you're probably going to say Paul Giamatti,
yeah,
and Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
Okay. Weigh in, please.
I mean, obviously, like it is very difficult to pick. But talk about two incredibly different characters, two very believable characters. There was just something about Paul and how I felt about him and for him. And like just he absolutely grabbed me and had all of my emotion. And I just thought it was just such a believable, believable character.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And Paul Giamatti is a fantastic actor. Like he's got this way about him that really allows you to, you see him as a real person, which I think mm-hmm. is like the whole thing, right? Like that's what you want to see out of an acting performance. You want it to be as believable as possible. I if anyone is going to snag this from Cillian Murphy, because I think he is still the front runner. He's been winning, like, you know, the BAFTA, the SAG, like he's kind of been winning the awards in the race leading up to. So I would be surprised if he lost. But if he is going to lose, it's going to be to Paul Giamatti. For a while, people were saying that it could be Bradley Cooper that steals it.
Oh, and Maestro,
and I
yeah.
think that particular narrative has lost momentum. I don't think it's going to be him. It's like he suddenly realized that like it was a lost cause against Cillian. And then he like just dropped out of like out of the campaign,
right,
as you might say. But Paul Giamatti, he is, yeah, that it is really tough. They're totally, they're very different performances.
Yes.
But Cillian Murphy is such, such a, he's such a good actor, and he has been he's been overlooked and underrated for a long time. So it would be nice. I would love to see him win. I would. I've just been a fan of his for a long time. Paul Giamatti, I do believe, has won one before, but that doesn't really mean anything. You can, you know, we've seen people can win twice. Not a big deal. But I'm still going to go Cillian Murphy on this with the potential upset of Paul.
Okay. Now, well, I guess we'll just see.
Now, let's go into a category that is honestly a little bit tougher for me. It's a lot more 50-50 than the best actor, and that's the lead actress.
Right.
This is like the first time that in recent years that I can remember being truly torn between two, and that would be Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon and Emma Stone, Poor Things. And now everyone is saying lately that it's going to be Lily Gladstone. I'm still not 100% sold that this isn't going to be Emma Stone, honestly. These are, for me, they're also tied. Like, in my heart and in my mind, they're also tied. I love Lily Gladstone. I think this has been, like, such a huge breakout role for her. But it's also been the best, performance by Emma Stone in her career, for sure. But, you know, she's also 35, so she's got lots of career left. So it's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here, but if I actually don't know, if I had to say.
Like, you had to vote. You're on the Academy. You have to vote.
Like, if I personally was voting?
Yes.
I don't want to answer. I don't know.
You have to answer. I have a gun to your head. You okay. Have to answer. Go. It's got to be your gut.
I might go Emma Stone on this because it's such a unique performance. And again, these are two very different performances. Lily Gladstone is like, she was a revelation, and I'm such a huge fan of hers already. But I also think that Emma Stone, she could win, and she's going to continue having her career. Sometimes when you are a breakout star and you get an Oscar, it's almost like a kiss of death. It's like, where do those people go? You know, like, it's like their career kind of peaks in that like breakout year. And then it's like people kind of forget. I think I would hate to see that happen with Lily Gladstone. I would love to see her get more like meaty quality roles. The only time I really remember somebody like a breakout kind of relatively unknown winning and still like maintaining a really successful career is Marion Cotillard back in like 2007, 2008 for Le Vie en Rose. And she's kind of continued to have a thing.
That brain of yours, I was like, who?
But then I look at, you know, that other French actor who is great, whose name is already Jean, I don't know. It's already escaping me. But like, he's maintained a successful career in France, but he won Best Actor for The Artist. And where has he been? I don't know. So I kind of could see Emma Stone winning it, but it's so 50-50 for me. Like, it's so 50-50. Like, throw a dart at a board between those two names, and that's your ballot pick, in my opinion.
All right.
Now, supporting actress and supporting actor, those are categories that always tend to be fairly locked in by the time you get to the Oscars. And this year is really no different, I don't think. So supporting actor, I think it's probably going to be Robert Downey Jr., although I don't personally think that his performance in Oppenheimer was my favorite performance. I think nobody's taking Ryan Gosling in Barbie seriously, but it was the comedic performance of, you know, the last 5 years. Like, I thought it's hard to do comedy and it's overlooked. It's not taken as seriously. And he was brilliant.
He was brilliant. Brilliant. I completely agree with you on that. And I think that what's funny is like, I almost felt ashamed to bring it up because I was like, well, how could he possibly win? But then like you saying that, like, you're right. Like, there is a reason that I thought that.
Yes. Well, because like those types of roles don't typically win. They just don't. And Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things also incredibly funny in a bit more of a serious movie. Still a comedic movie, but not like, you know, outwardly comedic like Barbie. And I don't think he's going to win. I would love to see him win. I think it's one of my favorite performances that I've seen him in. But Robert Downey Jr. has that very Oscar-y performance in Oppenheimer. And it almost like, I'll be honest, in my opinion, it's like oozing of like, I want the Oscar this year. It seems like he wants it more than anyone. Like, he went into that role thinking like, this is my year. And it, to me, this is the picture. It's a little overdone occasionally, like, in my opinion. But, you know, people also really like Robert Downey Jr., so I could see it.
It took me till the last scene to recognize it, like, for sure that it was him. I kept being like, is that him? You know, on the summary.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So those are the big categories. And then there's, I glossed over, or I kind of skipped over some of the other Best Picture nominees, because I don't think that they're going to win.
They don't have a chance.
If there was going to be an upset.
Outlier. Yeah.
I actually think it would be Anatomy of a Fall. Some people are saying Holdovers, Past Lives. Again, I don't think Past Lives is going to win the Oscar for Best Picture. The Oscars in the past have done the occasional upset with a little bit more of the like feel good, non like epic type movie. Like, a couple of years it was Coda, which was an egregious upset in my opinion to Power of the Dog or whatever. That was ridiculous. But anyway, I'm not going to get into
that. If you could
that.
See my face, you'd see that.
She was confused, so I'm not going to get into
what's
it.
What's going on?
I mean, it was a really nice feel-good movie. We're just coming out of, like, COVID-y times, and people wanted to feel nice, but we got soft when we went with Coda over Power of the Dog. Anyway, one movie I did want to mention is Zone of Interest in Best Picture, because we will, I think, see that one pop up again as a win for Best International Feature.
Okay, what is it about? I've never even heard of it.
It's Holocaust. Yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a comedy.
Not a feel good.
Not a feel good one. Yeah. But it looks beautifully shot, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So I haven't seen that one yet, but I wouldn't be surprised if that wins Best International Feature. Animated feature. That Spider-Man one. I haven't seen any of the animated movies, full disclosure. But Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is like, I saw the first one and it honestly is great, even though I'm not big into animated movies. Could potentially be The Boy and the Heron, but I could see Spider-Man taking that one. So those are the big ones.
All right. How excited are you?
I'm very excited. I'm going to be in Kananaskis for a conference, but luckily my conference colleagues understand that this is an important night for me, and we will be watching the Oscars in someone's hotel room.
Excellent.
With a bottle of wine and some chips, probably.
You want to know what I'll be doing?
I'll actually
be at the U Sports Final Eight Championship game at
7:30
on the Sunday. So
you're not even going to watch. Will you record it?
No.
Here's what we'll do. I'll record it, and then when I get back,
you're
going to
make me
again.
Watch it. With
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's right. Sound good?
Sounds good.
She agrees.
Commit to the back half of that awards show where we get the big awards. I will not watch the whole thing.
Well, they like to scatter them so that you are
have
kept,
to stay.
Yeah, like
of
they
course,
do. They do support
of course
it pretty
they would.
Early on.
Hollywood just needs to grab hold of you and never let go.
Listen, the monologue is always great. They do a couple big awards right off the hop.
You know what? I'll record it so I can fast forward.
And there's a lot of in between that some people don't really enjoy.
That's me. I don't really enjoy.
All right, that's fine. I'll accept that you will watch a recorded version where we fast forward through some of the things you don't like.
Okay,
it'll be a rewatch for me, a first watch for you.
Oh God. Okay, this sounds like a real joyful time. So I'm going to put my money on Paul Giamatti, and you're going to put your money on Killian. What are we doing? Case of beer?
Case of beer. Let's do it.
All right.
And if it.
Let's go, Paul.
It is the month of the Irish, as we mentioned, as if they're not going to award Killian Murphy.
Oh, Killian. Oh, Mr. Murphy.
This episode has been deeply offensive to the Irish people, and we apologize for that. Claire, if you're listening to this, we missed you and we hope you enjoyed your half a day of skiing or whatever it is that you're doing. We lost the plot on that, actually. Yeah.
We no still idea. Don't know where still you are. Claire.
If anyone sees Claire,
let her know we're looking for her.
Okay, well, that is the end of our episode today. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.